We're the masters
of podcasting. Welcome, everybody, to the Huber Rebels podcast. My name is Jordan.
And my name is Ethan.
Tell me about Dune 2.
Dune 2. These are all the different names that it has.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even really know where to start. I kind of went. Because we haven't talked about the second one.
No, we haven't talked about this.
We talked about the first one, but you also saw it.
I guess we have both seen it recently, so it's fair if you want me to start. You want me to start?
Where did you see it?
AMC. Dolby?
How many millimeters?
Oh, okay. We don't have 70 millimeter. Yeah, sorry. I know you're more special than me.
Better is another way to put it.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like it's more of a talking point.
I just have to say, I don't feel like that would have made a difference to me for Oppenheimer at all. I don't. That one doesn't make sense to me. Dune, I can understand.
70 millimeter?
Yeah.
For Oppenheimer, I think it's like the old footage, maybe, or something. There was one point during Dune where there was a shot of the desert, and there were these squigglies, and I was like, are those part of the movie? What are these little squiggly guys doing? They're kind of up there, and then they're there, and then I was like, those are definitely artifacts on the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was bizarre.
Was it distracting?
It was only for, like, what do you... three little things.
Reels.
I don't even know how to reel is like the whole thing.
I guess, do they change it still, like, partway through? I don't even know. I remember seeing the pictures of the film reel for Oppenheimer. It was like the entire freaking thing. They used to change it. Yeah. They don't do that anymore. I didn't see in 70 millimeter, but I mean, I have the same thoughts as I did for the first one. It's not for me, apparently.
It's so sad. It makes me so sad.
I loved Austin Butler. I thought he was great, and I thought he did a fantastic job at being Stellan Skarsgård's, like, nephew or whatever. Like, he had all of the voice combinations down. He sounded just like him. I thought he was cool and scary, and no spoilers, obviously. I won't go into spoilers, but he was fantastic. There was a lot of cool visuals, the, like, black and white fight scene and planet and all that stuff, that was cool. But I think that's where my compliments end.
I'm fully obsessed, complete opposite. Like, Maya wants to go see it again too. Want to go see it again. The Dolby probably had pretty good sound.
Yeah, it sounded good.
That was cool. We saw it at the Chinese theater again. Whereas when we saw Oppenheimer, it was empty. It was full. And it was on Saturday. Yeah. And it was in Hollywood. We will not be doing that again. We got there and I was like, yeah, we came on a weekday evening to see Oppenheimer down here. And it was nice. This was a Saturday afternoon at 2:30 in Hollywood. It was full, tourists out and everything, and it was not fun.
And I think by the time you saw Oppenheimer, it had been out for a while, right?
A very long while.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's what I thought.
But I think this was the last Saturday in that format for Dune, because it had been out for 3 weeks. So this was, like, some of the last calls of people going to see it.
Speaking of the sound, we saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in Dolby at a different Dolby theater a couple nights ago.
Yes.
It was perfectly so loud. It was the loudest movie I've ever been to. I always hear Tim and them talking about, like, it shook my seat. I felt it in my chest. I'd never experienced that before this movie. And I'm like, oh, I think this Dolby theater is, like, properly tuned. I don't think I've experienced that before in these other Dolby theaters. They're nice, but they're not...
Yeah.
They're not special, honestly. They just are kind of cozier. But I don't notice the technical, overachieving with those. So, even that for Dune wasn't that much for me.
That's what I was going to say for Dune was the sound. Like, it was in my chest. I felt like I was in the movie.
Yeah.
Which, as it just crescendoed more and more, it was both the shortest and longest 3 hours that ever. Like, time ceased to exist. It did, as it started, I was kind of like, oh, this is higher pace than the last movie. I was a little afraid it was going to rush, but by the end, I mean, I don't know how they pulled that off. Dune is now one of my favorite things, like, ever. Which is, I know it's just, you can't believe it, but...
No, I believe it. I definitely believe it. Everyone thinks that now.
Yeah.
Everyone's obsessed with it, except for me. So I can't be a part of it.
I've been diving into, like, the history. I was even reading up on Frank Herbert and his background, and apparently the books are going to get crazier and crazier. They definitely have to keep making them. But I'm kind of torn how to talk about this without spoilers, because this whole movie is one giant spoiler.
Do you want to talk about spoilers in, like, the post show or something?
We can talk about spoilers in the post show. Overall, okay. I thought, because there's so much nuance to it, and like levels to what they're presenting, but what they're really saying, and what's actually going on, and how they're messaging and stuff.
Can you tell me any of that without spoiling? No, right?
I can. Well, some of the bigger thematic stuff is, it's a lot about prophets, false prophets, like how people interpret that, a lot of relevance to our world. I will reference this is not any special take by me, but just especially with what's going on in the world right now, very pertinent to this movie, and testament to the author who wrote this back in the 60s, when obviously there was a lot of other stuff going on then that's kind of paralleled with now. So timing-wise, I thought this was just kind of cool.
What's going on today that's similar to Dune?
Everything with Gaza.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I've read some articles about that. This movie's heavily influenced by Islam and Middle Eastern culture. Maya even called it out, the face tattoos, that's straight up from the Bedouins. Some of the language is tweaked in this movie to not be so abrasive, but to be a little bit more, I don't have the right words, but easier to digest, I guess, for people.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's more than just sci-fi. It's sci-fi setting to communicate, you know, bigger ideas, which is actually why I've like come to appreciate Star Wars so much too, as I've gotten older. More than just space people shooting and lasers, and it's like, oh wow, this is actually some like really, really good lessons for kids. This is more for adults. This is not for children. But aside from all of that stuff, some of my favorite, like, I'll just do like a little quick list of like favorite in-universe details about Dune. The fact that everything is hand-to-hand combat, because they have the shields,
yep,
which stop kinetic weapons, so guns, bullets, and you can't use lasers, because
they'll explode.
Lasers with the shields will literally turn into like an atomic explosion that destroys both the target and the person that's shooting.
Yeah.
So it's back to this like kind of ancient style of like hand-to-hand combat, which is just super interesting.
I like that.
I will say Christopher Walken, that's not really spoilers, but like literally the opening of the movie, I was like, okay, let's go.
I was very confused, because I, up until that moment, thought that Stellan Skarsgård was the Emperor. I know I shouldn't have thought that, but I don't think it was ever, like, explicitly clear enough that they kept talking about the Emperor and then showing this ruler person who, like, everyone reported to him, like, that must be the Emperor. He's also freaking tall and creepy and stuff. But no, he's just the Baron of the Harkonnens or whatever. I gotta say, my favorite part of Dune is the Harkonnens. I love everything about their whole side of things. They are creepy and awesome, and I love them.
They're very unique.
Yeah.
The only thing they did remind me of was Prometheus and the engineers, which I may have mentioned before, but very similar. You gotta watch it.
I'm not gonna say is my biggest critique, but one thing that just bummed me out was they took away all the fear and mystique of the worms in this movie. They just become completely normalized and overused. And I didn't understand that. In the first movie, even with the Fremen, they're terrifying. Like, they're hiding from them, they're running from them, all this stuff. And then in the second movie, in, like, mass, they're traveling on these things across the planet. And that, I thought that was a pretty massive jump in, and not logic, but I don't know. I didn't understand that.
How long ago did you see the first one?
A couple weeks ago.
You rewatched it?
Yeah.
I would counter. I think we were afraid of the worms largely as seeing it through Paul's eyes, but I didn't see the Fremen as being afraid, more just they knew how to interact around them. Like, that's the whole point of them, like, having their desert walk, is they're not afraid of them. They know how to live with them. That's why they have the little pulse things.
Well, yeah, I guess that's something I was wondering too. It's like, what's even the point of the walk if they know how to completely avoid, tame, ride, use, however they need? They know when they're coming. They don't. It's not like the worms sneak up on them. So I'm not. Well, I don't know why I'm judging the movie for this, because that's clearly an aspect in the book. So, and I haven't read that.
No. But I totally get what you're getting at.
And
I think the way I see it is, like, the first movie is like the outsider movie, and the second movie is the insider movie.
Which I understand more so. Yeah. I don't know. Especially now after you bring it up, how it's, like, much more relevant to very serious, current, real things that we're dealing with. That I don't like picking this movie apart because, oh, the worms aren't scary anymore. But
you can 100% pick this movie apart. It's still a movie.
I know.
It's just art. It's 100% up for critique. And I don't think that's a bad thing either.
No.
You're not obligated to like any piece of content.
I don't hate it. I don't even not like it. I just wish I loved it.
What was your take on Chalamet from movie one to two?
I think I liked him more in the first one, but I think the reaction I had when we talked about this last week or whenever it was, and I was like, oh, I think maybe he's my issue with this movie. I just think I don't actually like him in these movies at all. Like, I'm wondering if I like him at all, actually, because I used to love him, but now there's something about him that's rubbing me the wrong way, and I don't know if I can put my finger on it right now, but...
What do you know him from?
Call Me By Your Name, Beautiful Boy, Lady Bird, Don't Look Up, Little Women.
Oh, I hate that movie.
Which one?
Don't Look Up.
It wasn't great.
Couldn't finish it.
It wasn't great.
Literally turned it off after about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was kind of annoying. You didn't even get to him. You would have seen him before now, but you didn't even get to him.
Yeah, this was literally my introduction. I've heard about him and all the jokes about his name and stuff, but this was literally my introduction to all the joking where Timothée Chalamet, or how I don't know how people mess with him. But,
no, I think he does a decent job. I just I don't know. I think I can't quite connect to my mind him and his figure and what I know him as from other movies and who this kind of like imposing, strong leader guy is now growing into. I'm not saying he's there yet. He probably is still meant to be portrayed as maybe a slightly weaker person, even though he's badass and can kill anybody. But I don't know.
There's so many spoilers I want to talk about in this movie.
I know.
I'll save those. We also don't have to talk about it because I know you're not as excited.
No, I'm down. I would love Wonka? To just say things. Oh, and Wonka, yeah.
Okay. What was your... I haven't seen that yet, but I heard mixed things about that.
I thought it was fine. I like it more than the Johnny Depp one.
I heard those should be erased.
The Johnny Depp one? I hate it. I hate that one entirely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That one should just be ignored. I've never seen it.
We both love the original, right?
That's like National Film Archive.
Yes.
Level.
This movie does not come anywhere close to having the same magic as the original, but I think it is respectful enough of it that I was like, this is fine.
That's about what I expect.
Yeah. There's some cool moments, but it didn't blow me away like I was hoping it would. When I heard he was gonna be Wonka like a year and a half, 2 years ago, I'm like, oh my god, yes, this sounds like my dream. And then it was just a little bit more... obviously, it should be for kids, but it was too kiddy. You know, it was like, it was from the director of Paddington, and it felt like that. So.
Oh. Dude, that's what's great about the classic. For kids and adults.
Mm-hmm. Things it's a little bit messed up.
I mean, yeah, exactly. A little traumatizing.
This one did not feel like a Roald Dahl story, whereas the original, you can see where it's like, oh, this is where the twisted guy left his fingerprints. This one was just sugary sweet prequel.
Well, before we move away from Dune, which I know you're really sad to do, does that mean you're not going to want to play Dune Awakening, MMO on Arrakis, where you go around and...
The only part about that turns me off is an MMO. I'm not against playing a Dune game.
It's like open world survival.
Okay. Yeah, I'm interested in that for sure. Here's the thing.
Pay for it, but we'll see.
I'll keep saying this. I will keep giving it a chance. I want to connect with it, and I feel like it will someday get its hooks in me. It's just not right now. But like
it'll
we said,
I continue and ride you.
Ride me like those worms, all day sandworms, Alaskan bullworms. I just want to bring up real quick. Denis Villeneuve said he will do part 3 if it's better, otherwise he won't do it. So like, I don't know, people keep talking like Dune 3 is already happening, it's already confirmed. Write it and he will do it better, but it's like it's not a for sure it's not confirmed yet.
No, there's another comment where the person who did the music said he basically came in, didn't say a word, went wink, wink, and dropped the thing on his desk.
Did he?
To, like, start making the music for the third one, yeah.
Okay. I mean...
So it's one of those things where they said it was based on how this performed, and it's, like, performing ridiculous.
It is doing really well. I feel like it should be making more money, though. How much has it made?
I haven't checked in. Last I checked, it was, like, 500-something million. 500 or 600 million.
Yeah, 500. I mean, this seems like a billion-dollar movie with the how much it's being talked about and how big it is.
A billion-dollar movie before COVID.
I don't understand that though. There's still plenty of billion-dollar movies since COVID. Why not this one?
Name them.
Mario. Barbie.
That's Mario.
Right.
Barbie. Everybody knows Barbie. Everybody knows Mario.
I shouldn't have said plenty. Jurassic World?
No way the new one hit a billion.
No, it probably didn't. All right, hold on. Let me look it up. $1 billion box office movies. I should cut this. I hate when I'm looking stuff up.
No, look it up. While you're looking that up, I'll say, so Dune 3 is definitely going to happen. And I'm super hyped. There's also going to be a TV show coming to Max later this year called Dune Prophecy.
Live action?
Live action series coming to Max. It is a prequel set 10,000 years before these movies, but in the same universe. This is why I say 3 is definitely happening. They're building this out. So same is in the Dennis. I'm not even going to try to say his name. And it's all about the beginning of the Bene Gesserit.
Oh, that sounds sick. I'll watch that. I weirdly, I don't understand. I am not in, but I'm also excited for anything else that's coming up. I'm like, yeah, you're cool. Let's try this again. I'm hovering. Yeah. Okay. Barbie, Mario, Avatar, Top Gun.
Yep.
Spider-Man.
Yep.
That's all that's existing franchises. Five. I mean, so is this now?
But new. Like, Dune is interesting because one, it's a two-part. So people who didn't see part one are probably not going to go see part two. It's kind of hard sci-fi, which might put some people off. And it's not like Barbie is like family. Mario is family. Avatar is family. Spider-Man is family. And Top Gun was considered like one of the best movies ever. And a 40-year later sequel. So you have a huge age range of people. Now, I don't know where Dune ranks on this list. It's probably going to get close when it's all said and done, but I guess of all of them, the giant sandworm movie. Those fringe people, it's going to be hard to get.
I suppose. Also because it's
2 hours and however many.
Yeah. You
know, it's almost 3 hours.
I mean, I think Top Gun is 2.5 hours. And that made $1.5 billion for a Tom Cruise centric movie who is polarizing in him, you know, himself. So I don't know.
Do they ever re-release that in theaters? Because I want to see that in theaters. I don't want to watch that at home.
Maverick, did they or will they? Is that what are you asking?
Will they?
Maybe if they make a third one. They might, and I think they are making a third one. I think so.
No way. That won't be as good.
I don't want them to. That's they sad. Really shouldn't. I liked Maverick
years and then 5 years, it doesn't feel right to me.
No, I agree. That feels like, oh, cool, we made money. Make another one, quick. Make it snappy.
Yep.
That's kind of what Ghostbusters did too. I thought Afterlife was amazing, and then instantly they cranked out another one and it was okay, but still it just feels wrong.
How was Frozen Empire? I have maybe seen one Ghostbusters movie, maybe
two. It has a lot of problems, but I had fun with it. It was funny enough, and I liked that they were back in New York. Paul Rudd is great, as always. And yeah, it was fine. I liked it.
It's like every other one is what they're heading on, it seems.
Yeah, I hate things like that. I wish Indiana Jones had stuck with that, but they couldn't round out the cinquilogy of movies with a good one. It just got worse.
Still haven't seen. It's worse. 5 is worse than 4.
To me, yes.
I heard that. I still haven't seen it for that reason.
It was horrendous, and at least 4 had Shia. Oh, and this one doesn't even have anything close to that. Yeah. No, I understand why people hate it and say it's bad, but I enjoyed it. It's stupid and it's goofy, but I still had fun with it. I don't think it's like put it on the holy pedestal of movies like any of the original ones, but 5 was just... insulting.
Controversial comment. I love Indiana Jones. I love Harrison Ford. Those movies just never felt as big as I heard.
I think you hear that because in the 80s, or yeah, the 80s, exactly, they were huge, obviously. They were so exciting and so much fun. I love them. My dad introduced them to me. I think 3 is great. He hates 2. I even think 2 is actually interesting, but I've always had the poster of 1 on my wall. And before 5, I think my dad and I went and saw 1 again in theaters, and I was like, oh, this isn't as good as I remember. Yeah, I had a lot of problems with it, but
I was going to say 1 is the one that holds up for me. 2 I like because it's in India.
Yeah.
Right? And that's about it. 3 was like, oh, this is a good story.
3 is good.
I feel like Indiana Jones, that setting, I know we're on a tangent, is like my jam. The 1930s, I think. Like,
yeah.
Globetrotting history. Like, it is everything that I love. So I'll watch him regardless, but
he's always somehow intertwined with the Nazis in one way or another. They always end up finding a way into the story. Oh, wait, what? Punch them. Yeah. I can't wait for the game. I hope
the game looks amazing.
The game, the amazing thing to me is I'm going to consider the game as an installment in the movies. Like,
100%.
I didn't think it was going to feel that like canon, but I can't wait to play that. As long as we're talking about movies and sequels, what were we going to say?
No, I was going to say, I think that is their intention, is for it to feel like another notch in the Indiana Jones.
What is it called? The Perfect Circle?
Great Circle.
Great Circle. Not even perfect.
it's
the Great Circle.
Between 1 and 2, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We'll talk about more of that on Game Chat tonight. But yeah, sequels. Spider-Man 4 is looking to start filming later this year with Justin Lin as a possible director. I don't know how I feel about that.
Enlighten me.
Fast X. Fast 8. Like, kind of a lot of the Fasts, except for the good ones. Maybe that's not true. He didn't do 7. I think he did 5, which I like.
But what else? What has he done that's good? Like, what's he known for? Only those. Fast and the Furious?
Mainly those. He did Star Trek Beyond.
The one I didn't see.
Now, this says Space Jam, A New Legacy, but that can't be directing. What did he have to do with that? I don't know.
He did Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah, he did a lot of the Fast and Furious movies. That's what I'm saying.
Isn't that one good?
It's fine. It's not one that I remember. It's one of the ones that blends in with 4 and 8. And like 5 stands out to me, and 7 stands out to me. Even 9 blends in with those ones as well.
5 might be the one I'm thinking of. I'm not going to lie. He did Tokyo Drift. I'm sold.
That is impressive. That's good. But anyways, I
hate that one.
I'm bummed because I understand, what's his name? Webb. Spider-Man Webb director. Mark Webb did the original trilogy of Tom Holland movies, and I understand if he'd told his story and now he's done, but I just wish maybe it was someone other than Justin Lin possibly taking up the mantle. But also, it's the MCU, and if they trust him, then I guess maybe that's enough for me. Yeah, that was a lot of movie talk. We did not intend for this show to still have that kind of format, but this week it does. We talked about movies in the first half, and we'll talk about other stuff in the second half after these ads. If you like what we do, we'd really appreciate if you consider supporting us on Patreon. Now more than ever, small independent teams need all the help they can get, and we'd love to have you join the rebellion.
Joining us on Patreon can get you a wide array of perks, starting with our one-star tier. Joining this tier will get you voting rights for Movie Madness, our weekly journey through an actor's entire filmography.
Our two-star tier will give you extended episodes of the Huber Rebels podcast, Game Chat Tonight, and Movie Madness, both ad-free and a day early. Plus, you can write into those shows for a chance to have your questions and comments read on the podcast.
The three-star tier delivers the most value with our Patreon-exclusive shows. You will get a monthly episode of Crossword Struggle and Climbing the Ranks, and we have more exclusive shows planned to add even more value to this tier.
Next, as a four-star rebel, your name will be listed in an on-screen shout-out on each of our weekly scheduled shows.
Finally, you can be one of only 24 people to be considered a founding rebel. You will receive a limited edition founding rebel t-shirt. Your name will be read on each of our shows as a founding rebel, and you will forever be remembered as one of the very few people to truly help start the rebellion.
Visit patreon.com/HuberRebels for more information. Thank you so much for your support, and back to the show. All right, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed those ads. If you enjoy our movie talk, you should check out our show Movie Madness that we will be starting up here in just about a week, I think. We are currently going through the entire filmography of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the icon. And I say we're currently going through, and the last time we watched any of those movies was a few years ago, and we're about to pick it back up again. So, not currently, but about to be.
It felt like the right amount of time in between the two. Like, I don't think there's any other gaps, but, like, specifically the ones we watched 4 years ago and the ones we're picking back up on, it felt like that was the appropriate break.
We needed to sit on it for a little bit to really understand what he went through as an actor.
Exactly.
And now I feel like I get him on a spiritual level, and I'm ready to jump back in with the running man.
We got to run back in.
All right, well, I guess I'll tell you a little story of something that actually I already told you part of it. It has to do with us going to see Ghostbusters, but Taylor wanted to go to a candy shop. She really wanted to go to one of those candy shops where you like, they have all the jars and you can like scoop it into bags. And we were having trouble finding them because I don't think they exist now since COVID.
Sweet Factory.
Yes, exactly like that. Is there still one at the mall? Is it gone?
Nope.
See, that's my thing. I think that they're disappearing. So I even brought up Sweet Factory and we couldn't find one. And anyways, I found one in a city called Naperville, which is about 35, 40 minutes away from here. And it was like cool little downtown shop. I took her to the candy shop and...
I just hear 50 Cent. It's so bad.
I wanted to make like, you know, a fun night out of it. So there's also an AMC in Naperville. We'd been wanting to see Ghostbusters. So I'm like, cool, we'll do that. To round out the night, also in Naperville is the first ever Cosmics. McDonald's new chain brand. I don't even know what the hell they're calling it or what it's supposed to be, but there's actually a second location in Dallas, Texas now. But, so we went and checked it out, and it was very cool. It is a very odd building. I dig the branding. It's very like 50s space age kind of looking vibe, but you cannot go inside. It's just a drive-thru. Oh. And it's a very weird drive-thru where it is four cars wide, all with speakers. Okay. Kind of like a Sonic drive-in sort of thing. And you pull up and you do your thing. You pay with your card at the drive, the speaker thing, which I actually really like. I wish more drive-thrus would do that. And then they just tell you to sit and wait. You can't see inside the building. All the windows are frosted. It's very like weird and secretive. And I don't understand why. But yeah, we sat there for like 5 minutes. And a couple other cars went, and then they're like, okay, go to window two. And there's three windows, and you can't go around. So I don't really understand the point of three windows if you can't, like, drive through the car to get to your window.
Oh, wow.
And then they hand you your stuff, and then you leave. And everything was very clean and had like murals and stuff, but it was a weird format. It was also right next to another McDonald's. So like there was McDonald's and then there was Cosmic's.
What did they have?
So they have lots of weird drinks. The coffees aren't that crazy, but they probably have like slightly more flavored McCafe kind of items, but they have really crazy like slushies and smoothies. They have, they're really sour. They have popping bobas and they have pop rocks and all this different kinds of stuff. And they have, they serve breakfast all day. And they have slightly different,
breakfast
like,
or their breakfast?
Their breakfast.
Okay.
But McDonald's breakfast. Yeah.
Okay.
And different, like, snack items. Like, they have little, like, beignets filled with different things. We got cookie butter ones that were absolutely delicious. And, yeah, it was cool to check it out. I'm curious how many of these there's going to be. I'm sure they're not going to be nearly as popular or not as prevalent as McDonald's. But Taylor was like, they can just serve this stuff at any McDonald's. I'm like, that's probably what they're going to do. They'll have one out of every 10 McDonald's will serve Cosmic's items. And
it's there's a cultural, not maybe not cultural movement, but there's a movement right now with food towards snacking. That is the like biggest upcoming category, and I think that's kind of what they're trying to tap into with this very Gen Z kind of focused girl dinner.
I hate that so much.
Yeah,
that's one of my least favorite things. But yeah, it was fun. I was happy to get to check it out. Like you said, forget the Dallas one. I wish we had gone when it was still the only one in the world. I think it's crazy that it's right over there. I don't know why Naperville is the first city that got it in the entire country, but yeah, Cosmic's. If you happen to be passing through central Illinois, check it out.
No, I the whole like limited food concept thing is so interesting to me. Do you like coffee? I always forget this.
Not really, no.
So do you know what Dutch Bros is?
Yeah.
You guys have that out there?
I don't think it's here. I think it's more like Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico kind of area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how far they've branched, but we have one in, there's one in Costa Mesa, I think.
There is?
Something like that. Yeah. That's like,
is it new? That, like, just Taylor's going to be pissed. Yeah. Oh my God. She's going to be so pissed when I tell her that. Are you kidding
me? So she likes coffee.
I think she likes Dutch Bros. She keeps wanting me to try it, and she says if I ever try it before her, she's going to kill me.
All right, let me see.
If there's one in Costa Mesa, she'll be... Okay, that's still very close. Oh, man.
Village Center, Magnolia Street.
Well, that's good. The next time we're home, we can check that out.
Yeah, so I had it when I went to Scottsdale for a bachelor party. And Brandon was hyping it up. I didn't really even quite process it. Like, just the concept of, like, a new coffee place.
Right.
Yeah, what is this? Where's Costa Mesa? Sorry, I gotta check. Yeah, just above Huntington
South
Beach.
Of Fountain Valley. So
a little bit before Costa Mesa. But I like it. I haven't had it since. There's some in San Diego, and I keep forgetting to get it when we go down there. So, hopefully... I'll remember sometime going out to Irvine.
They're going to be everywhere probably, because that's things just kind of creep west like that, like Raising Cane's did, and I feel like one other thing did the same.
But yeah, I don't know what I was going to say.
Tell me about the Amazing Race.
Well, on the topic of food, I wanted to call out, because these food concept things are interesting. So Chick-fil-A, I don't know if you heard about this, is testing pizza.
No.
At one location, they have this test kitchen in College Park, Maryland, which turns out is like 30, 40 minutes, maybe an hour, from my mom in D.C. It's like north side of D.C. So Whenever next time I'm out there, I want to see what they're serving and go check it out.
I mean, I would like to try it, but is it just chicken pizza?
Yeah, chicken nuggets pizza.
Chicken nuggets pizza. Yeah, I would try that. Where was that experimental Panda Express?
I don't know if it's experimental.
But they had like items that no one else did. Oh, is that what it is?
There's Panda Inn, which is like the OG Panda. And that's in Pasadena.
And they had the sandwich and stuff?
No, that was just limited locations. That was a thing. Then I just found out they never ended up doing that. That was so good.
Did I have it? Did you give me one or something? Why do I feel like I tried it?
Because I described it to you.
You described it so well that I feel like I thought it was delicious. Yeah.
There you go. Panda, hit us with a sponsorship. And then, when you mentioned the robots at Cosmics, somebody told me there's a new Korean barbecue place. And they bring you the food on robots.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So we gotta go check that out.
There's a place in Irvine. It's Conveyor Belt Sushi, which I love. That's one of my favorite things. Like that, I think that might be my number one kind of restaurant. But same thing. They had a robot that brought you your drinks and stuff, and he would talk to you and say like you're welcome. And it, I don't know, it was so cute and quirky. I liked it. Really didn't need anyone to be working at that place, because I picked my own food, I paid for it, I put the plates in the table, and the robot brought me my drinks. So didn't need a single human the entire time.
That's wild. And I want to protect the jobs and all, but man, not to throw shade and sound old, but this next generation, customer service is horrible, and they want tips.
I will go deeper on this in a post show, probably maybe next week, when we implement a new segment called, just I'm going to temporarily call it T-Panger Management. I'm going to do some auto-tuned crap talking on people. Fast food workers being one of them.
I literally, because I've pre-ordered and prepaid for, and this is just a random example, additional sauce so many times and not gotten it even, and then the next time I was like, okay, and you guys put the extra sauce, and they're like, yes, everything's in there, and then I got home and it wasn't. So what I did last time was I ordered it, and then I went up after and I ordered it separately so that they had to give it to me,
yeah,
and not just steal my money.
Just tonight after work, Taylor went to Taco Bell for us. And she read my order wrong, so she had to, not on her, I had a very convoluted order. She didn't realize until after that she missed something. So she went around and ordered my food again. Both times, asked for extra sauce and got zero sauces. It's like, what the hell? What are you doing?
Punishable by death.
Unbelievable. But yeah, especially when you pay for it.
Yep.
It's with, first of all, you limit how many I can get in the first place, and I paid for it. Give it to me. I'm so tired of paying things that I don't get.
Yeah. Doesn't work the other way.
No. Getting things that I don't pay? No, it doesn't.
No, I just mean, at no point do we get the benefit of the doubt.
No, never. Anyways, we'll rant about that later on a post show. So subscribe to Patreon if you want to hear that someday soon.
Do you watch Amazing Race?
Yes, I am not caught up though. My mom and I have not finished the last season yet. I think we have like one or two episodes left. I always watch it with her, I've been behind, not being home and stuff.
No, so I remember that, but that's perfect because they're like all on Paramount Plus and whatever else. Or recorded if you haven't recorded.
Yeah.
It's like literally no. It's not like you have to keep up with it. But I haven't watched it in a long time. And we're watching this latest season. So 3 episodes in. But it just reminds me, man, I want to go on that show.
I want to go on that show so bad. I still think we would win. Especially now that they've made it. I was just listening on a podcast today about It was Sips. Remember Sips?
Yeah.
He was talking about what I then Dog's came to realize was, yeah, was the British version of The Amazing Race, which sounds kind of like what The Amazing Race started as, which was like, you're very on your own. You have to find your method of travel. How far ahead you finish is how far ahead you start the next day. Like, you can be separated by multiple days, find your own food, all that stuff. Your hand is so held through The Amazing Race now, where it's just, here's your first class flight. Everyone flies together. There's really...
Wait, really?
I mean, yeah.
So, I haven't watched in years, but I'm like, wait, they're in the new country? How did they get there?
They just...
The whole point was you get stuck in an airport.
No, never anymore. Not at all. They don't organize their own travel at all. They're given cars.
Dude, these people can barely navigate through the cities.
I know. It's insane. It really, you just have to get from one flag to the next, do the little game, and then that's it. Then you just chill and party for 12 hours.
I've literally been waiting for the airport sequences. Love fighting for it. I think maybe because the world has changed. That's my only thought.
I mean, it's for sure been since COVID, but I think it's been that way. I mean, I've watched many seasons of The Amazing Race. I can't remember how far back it's been since it stopped being that way, but I don't... Yeah, I mean, they don't even talk about them having to save their money or anything anymore. That's not even an aspect of it.
You're right.
They will sometimes, when they're reading the card, they'll be like, you have $100 for this leg of the race. But that never comes into play at all. And maybe they just don't put that in the show, but then why is it a thing? So, I don't know. I'm still obsessed with it.
I'm gonna do some Amazing Race research.
I want to research too, because did you read about what people were saying about the Squid Game challenge, how bad it was behind the scenes, and like how miserable they were?
I love it. Oh no, you were miserable on the Squid Game challenge? Did you watch the show?
But like,
are you kidding me?
For the Duck Duck Goose game, right? Not Duck Duck Goose. Red Light, Green Light.
Yeah.
Remember the girl who just sat down? She's like, I can't do this.
Oh, I heard. They were sitting there for ages.
Hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded awful. But part of me wonders if there's any bad behind-the-scenes stuff of The Amazing Race, or if it's just kind of chill.
Yeah. Phil's too legit.
He's the best. I love him.
Yeah. We should have him on the podcast. That would be fun.
If we become somewhat successful doing this, that's all we need, and we can get on that show. I would love to go on that show. Make it happen, people.
I know Maya and I were joking about how much we'd be fighting, her and I on there.
Oh my god.
It's funny to see all the couples fighting. And just, I would lean into it. They already previewed it for next week. The girl's like, if this is how it's going to be, I just want to leave. And I'm just like, what are you saying?
That is one thing that I give that show credit for, is as much as I say it seems like they're kind of just guided through the whole process, I don't feel like anyone is being fake or acting. I think everyone is having pretty genuine emotions. Nothing seems too scripted. It's obviously edited to make it more suspenseful than it might be. Like, they make things look closer, but besides saying like, oh yay, the Travelocity gnome is coming with us this week, like, it's pretty just natural, and I really enjoy that about that show. But Taylor and I would not do well on that show. It would be bad from day one, I think.
Good TV. Great TV.
Yeah, it would. You and I, God, we need to fight a little bit. Otherwise, they may not let us on.
Nah, you don't have to fight. That's what the couples are for.
Yeah, they always have the best friends who are just way too happy the whole time.
Yeah.
Like Rex Ryan and his friend.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you'll have to tell me when you catch up to the new season.
I will.
I don't even remember the last time that I watched, but good times. I've been watching that since literally the first season.
Yeah, I think I saw the first 10 seasons and then I've seen the last like 15. There's like a little gap in the middle that I someday want to go back and watch, but it's one of my favorite shows ever.
And it hasn't completely devolved like Survivor and whatnot.
Yeah, what's happened with Survivor? Is it not as good
Oh,
as it
I
used
saw a
to?
clip from that, and it's purely just social media influencers who are trying to grow their brand.
Yeah, they do that sometimes with The Amazing Race. I like it when it's just random people. I don't like it when it's
Oh,
someone I
yeah, it should be
recognize.
randos.
I mean, if it's these are two YouTubers, that's fine, but I don't want it to be like Logan Paul and his mom. Like that's frustrating because you don't need to be on this show.
When's he fighting Tyson?
Jake Paul fights Tyson.
I don't know the difference between them.
Logan Paul is in the
I actually want to
WWE
watch
and
that.
Jake Paul is the boxer.
I hate that they're have any bit of success.
July 20th on
Oh, that's a
Netflix.
while away.
Yeah.
It's
I
on
can't.
Netflix?
Yep. The first live sporting event on Netflix.
That's the greatest encapsulation of the state of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
All summed
okay.
up in one. We may have to do a live cast to that.
I would love to. I can't wait to watch it. Jake Paul versus Mike
Yeah.
Tyson at AT&T Stadium live on Netflix. That feels like some Idiocracy kind
Black
of
Mirror.
stuff. Ah, man. Do you have any inclination or care or prediction of who would win?
Oh, I hope Tyson wipes the floor with this guy.
Me too. I saw a video
He
of him
might
training.
kill him.
Yeah, it was day
Yeah,
three
the infamous
of him like
video.
really training and he looked terrifying.
Paul responded.
I mean, he's in very good shape and he's good,
He's
but
not afraid.
no, he's
Tyson's
a.
the, other than Ollie, Tyson's the go.
Yeah.
Number two.
The Paul brothers are jackasses, but in a certain way, part of me respects what they've done. I
I
respect the
get what you're
hustle.
saying, as in like the yeah, no, I still hate them. I
Yeah,
have
that's
no
fair.
respect for their hustle because they've done it the wrong way, from what I've seen.
They started the wrong way. I think they've, especially Logan, I think he's done a decent job since, but they started being just absolutely obnoxious. And that's what happens when you get famous from being a Viner and a TikToker and stuff. You have to be
Yeah.
the cringiest thing ever.
And I don't know enough about them. Maybe we should get more cringe, bro.
I don't want to get cringe. Let's talk about something as old as time. Let's talk about chess for a second to round out this podcast. Have you ever
You know,
heard?
that is the saying, you know. Chess or the universe, which one came first? Like the chicken and the egg.
It's not really, is it?
No.
I didn't think so.
She said as old as time, so I
It
was like,
could, I
yeah,
mean, I feel like
sure.
chess is a very old game, but I guess
Checkmate. Existence comes into view.
have you heard, it's not even a theory, I think it's just a thing, that
Okay.
there are more possible games of chess than there are atoms in the universe?
I think I vaguely heard that, but not top of mind. That's insane.
No, that's not that can't be possible. That can't be possible. I respect that people have done the math and they're like, there's 10 to the power of 80 games of chess or whatever. I would think that there's more atoms than that in my body. That's not possible.
So I think the reason is because chess is also nearly infinite. Like one game of chess, you could just stalemate, 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 move, 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 back and forth, 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 basically to infinity.
Right.
Like, you can go around and around in chess. There's not like a funnel that makes it end. That would be the only way I think that could be possible.
Oh, you mean you literally can just move your pieces where you're not even getting anything done?
Trying to win. Yeah. Like, in theory, chess doesn't... it's not like checkers. I would disagree with checkers.
Right.
That is eventually going to break because of the shape of the board. But chess, you have pieces... Like, not every piece only goes forward. That would be my only guess. So you could jump around and back and forth and back and forth. And that's like... one game.
Okay, I hadn't thought about that. Change, I hadn't thought about
change
the idea one that move, you and that's are now a different game. Wasting moves to just make it a different infinite game, I guess. If there's no, but even still, that's still one game.
Yeah,
not moves. So now do that's game one game.
But now do another game where it's just one move is different.
We're talking about atoms in the universe versus a 10 by 10 board.
My guess is both of these numbers approach infinity.
Which, when you put it that way, I can understand that.
My guess is I don't know how one can even be bigger than the other. But I'll be honest, I'd never thought about chess like that before. That's still insane.
That's one of those things that when I heard it, I'm just like, I know that scientists have looked at this, but I just don't believe them. That's not true. It's the same thing as that door thing where it's like you're playing The Price is Right or something and you pick a door and then they remove one. And it's like, is it better to switch? Like, I'm like,
switch every time.
I don't know. I kind of agreed with him where I was just like, I'm not saying that people are wrong on that one. I just can't see it with my...
We'll do math with Maya.
Please bring her on to explain that. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, we need to do a math with Maya because she's just like pop, 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 pop with all that kind of stuff. Funny kind of thing. So when we moved in, we had our Hue light bulbs.
Yeah.
And each one is named. Specifically right. Tied to a side and a room. So I had like my bulb in the bedroom, she had hers, and my bulb on the couch, and she had hers. None of them were labeled, but they have the memory of what they are when you turn them in. And so here we have these light bulbs and four lamps. We placed the light bulbs in the lamps, just placed them. Every single one ended up where it needed to be.
And the odds of that are more infinite than there are atoms in your house.
Not even close, but she did. But she did calculate it, and I was just like...
Well, how many bulbs are we talking about? Four?
Four. Yeah.
So what, 16 combinations? Less than that even?
More than that.
Really?
Yeah, because I think so.
No.
I don't remember exactly how she explained it, but I'll have her explain that too. It was a little bit more complicated than I thought. Probabilities have always tripped me up.
Permutations and whatnot.
What's crazy is one of them even got switched orientation-wise and still ended up correct. Not a single light bulb had to be moved.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
You just
believe it. Like, it didn't feel real. I was like, this is insane. Because we switched spots on the couch. I used to be on the left, and now I'm on the right.
How come?
She's closer to the fireplace.
Mm. Warmth.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just how it is.
I want to try out your love seat.
Yeah, you will. It's, we fell asleep on it last night, fully extended.
With the dog?
Like, it makes like a little bed. No, we were watching Annie.
Yeah.
And Annie was in Daisy's bed. Maybe Daisy was up there, actually.
I actually meant Annie.
Yeah. No, I think Daisy got up with Maya on the couch. But her brother was at a wedding, and so they got back at like 2.
Oh, wow.
So we just fell asleep on the couch, yeah. Long night.
Well, I just had to bring that up because that broke my brain, and
I love that.
I knew that you would maybe help me rationalize it, and you saying that they're both nearly infinite, that I can understand. But
I did see I watched a video that had to do with potential number of universes, and the number was insane. It was like trillion, 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 quintillion, quintillion, trillion, 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 trillion. And that was like, it had all of that inside of it as well. Just insane numbers. We should have a segment for crazy number, mind-blowing things on each episode.
I would love that. I do like stuff like that. Just
Yeah.
you can't even fathom this fact. Have Maya come in and present those to us from now, from
She
time to
won't,
time.
but
Okay, yeah. Well,
maybe from time to time.
if she ever comes up with one, she can at least send it to us and we can talk about it.
Perfect.
Well, that has been the Huber Rebels podcast. Oh my God, I don't have my outro script pulled up. Let me pull that up real quick. But thank you
So,
for
thank you for
watching.
listening to nerd voices and
Damn it. It's gonna take me longer than I thought. Give me one
that's why I
second.
was spitballing.
I know.
Do it from memory.
I'm not
Improv.
ready yet. This is
Improv it.
only the third one. All right, let me try to do it from memory. Thank you for
Jordan, it's
watching the Huber Rebels
51.
podcast. If you've been listening, you can find our YouTube channel, Huber Rebels, where we have weekly episodes of the Huber Rebels podcast, Movie Madness, and Game Chat tonight, as well as our channel, Huber Hangouts, where we post weekly gaming VODs. If you've been watching us, you can listen to us on your favorite podcast streaming sites. Please like, subscribe, share, send it to your friends. Help us get more views because we want to get in front of more people so we can go on the Amazing Race and cool stuff like that. If you really like our show, you can go the extra mile by going to Huber Rebels Patreon, and we are about to do our post show on Patreon, so you can check that out. But I've got nothing else. My name is Jordan.
And my name is Ethan. Welcome to the rebellion. No?
Was close. It was close.
What was I supposed to say?
My name is Ethan. We are the Huber Rebels.
There you go.
Until next
Welcome to the
time.
rebellion.
Yep, we'll
Until
get there
next time.
someday.